What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
If you're born again and you're in Christ Jesus, you are blessed. So I'm blessed. And that there's absolutely no reason why there is anything that you do or God have asked you to do that you should fail in. The blessing removes that impossibility mindset, because you come to a place where you know that it's beyond you. Is somebody alive here? You know that there is an empowerment upon your life. Psalm 5 says that he has blessed the righteous. He has blessed the righteous. He says, and with favor, he has encompassed him round about like a shield. That means all around you, there's no sector, no area that you turn to that there is not favor positioned for you. Even where it's not working for others, you are blessed. Then the second thing we saw from scripture is that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and the blessing and empowerment of Abraham has come upon us. And if you look at the blessing of Abraham, in the declaration of a blessing upon Abraham, one key thing you see there is that the blessing gives you potential to make global impact. So everyone who is born again, seated here with the blessing of God upon him, are you getting me, can blow on the global screen. And say, making impact on the global screen, we discover that on the global stage, hallelujah, it is not us. We are not the ones who are ambitious. Don't get me wrong. It is in agreement with the pronouncement. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Meaning that if that same blessing has come upon you, what it means that in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And we also established, the third thing we established this morning, is that it's not what you are doing right now that is limiting you. To ever think that because of what I'm doing, that's why I'm not making a headway in life, is to put your focus on the wrong thing. Because somebody is excelling in that place that you are frustrated at. That's why we saw from Psalm 1:3 that the character of a blessed man is that whatever he does, prosper. Now, this must settle into your mind that because I am blessed, if I step into this thing, it must work. There are too many trials and errors in our life. You must be certain. That is why we look for options. Establish it. Are we together? Then we also saw that if there is any reason that anybody is not moving past his sphere, are you getting me? Or is not breaking out of his current confinement, it's not because the power of God is limited. It's because the person is limiting the power of God, because the vision in their heart is too what? Small. So oftentimes, the processes we pass through with God, are you getting me? It's not to teach us some form of lesson. It's to change the pictures in our hearts and enlarge them. So a lot of the journeys we undertake in life, are you getting me? It's for God to bring us to a place where the mind can conceptualize what this power can do. 40 days in the wilderness is not because God likes trekking. 40 days in the wilderness was to remove a mentality that was stopping God's plan and purpose. Are you understanding me? You will keep roaming in the wilderness until your mind does what? Changes. Do you know when the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness, their basic needs were met? So it is not about basic needs. So you can be in the wilderness. A lot of times people think wilderness experiences are those times when you don't have anything, you know. No. You can even be comfortable and roaming around in the wilderness. Is it not in the wilderness that scripture says that their shoes never got old? You never wore, even the clothes they wore on them, never worn out on them. It's in the wilderness that they were even experiencing the miracle power of God. There was supply. The Bible says there was a cloud covering them in the day. Are you getting me? And a fire to keep them warm in the night. This was happening while they were in the wilderness. As much as they were enjoying this miracle supply of God, are you getting me? There was something better. But you see, they could not enter into something better with old mindsets. That is why when God wanted to bring a deliverer and bring out a great man, hello, who will bring the children of Israel out of captivity, he couldn't pick one with the same mindset. So he had to extract one and plant in the palace. That is the reason for Moses being found on the Nile River. That if all these people are here, we will not be able to get one person who will be able to deliver these people. Listen to me. Two poor people can't help themselves. Two small minds can't do great things. Listen, a conglomerate of plenty small minds will only develop a community of small minds. It's not like if you bring your small mind, you bring my small mind, eventually we'll have a big thing. No. Many small minds will only develop a small-minded what? Community. Until somebody comes out of there. See, in the New Testament, people think that we are waiting upon God. No, God is waiting upon your mind. He's waiting upon your vision. The power of God is more than available. So what we're saying about vision is important. Moses being planted in Pharaoh's house, are you getting me? was to instill in him the character of kings, to give him a global idea of how national treaties are negotiated. Because while he was prince of Egypt, you can be sure he was involved with kings of other nations. He had talked with them. So he understands the mannerisms of kings. He had fought battles. He had conquered nations. See, the grace of God works with mindset. Jesus had 12 disciples. But when it was time to entrust the deeper truths of his mysteries, how many of you know? He had a man who could communicate that message at a particular level. Did you ever see Peter talking to governors? When it was time to meet governors, who was talking with them? It was Paul. Because if you read the letters of Paul, you will see the miracle working power of God, and you will see the tongue of an apologetic. It is Paul you hear say, even your poets said. That means he knew poetry. Glory to God. So God needs you to expand your word vision. And listen to me. You will discover that when hearts break and they are opened, are you getting me? You will find out that it is easier to do big things than it is to do small things. Matthew 6:24. Let's go there if I come to Ephesians 2. Quickly, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is the only time God equates a spirit to himself. If you don't master money, it will direct your life. And the way to have mastery over money is to learn the ropes from God. If you serve God, you have mastery over money. See, let me tell you how it works. If you serve God, money will be a great tool. If you don't focus on God, money will be a cruel master to you. It will make you do things you never imagined you could do. I'm not talking about unbelievers. Verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, can I speak to you? Do not worry about your life. Some people think that Jesus is saying, don't think. There's a difference. In fact, here he's even telling you to think, but he's telling you not to worry. He said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What is the answer? That question, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What is the question? What is the answer? What are you saying yes to? That life is more than food and is more than what? Clothing. So if life is more than food and is more than clothing, then what is it about? Until you have been able to answer that question, life will be about food and about clothing. Did you understand? You know, it's easy to say, yes, life is more than food, it's more than clothing. Then he now asks you, what is life about? To love. If you don't have an answer to that question, do you get me? You will discover that you might even be going about every day's activity to one end, to satisfy a particular hunger or to put up a particular appearance. That's what clothing means. It's not just this clothes. Either you want to create an appearance or you want to satisfy a thing. And that's what a lot of people live for. Finally, I buy that car. Finally, I build that house. That's food. Finally, they are seeing me in a particular way now. There's a way everybody sees me now. I'm not among the suffering kind. That's clothing. That's an appearance. So when Jesus said, food and clothing, don't think it's just about eating. Because some of you here, you can feed very well now. At least with your Pokemon, you are doing well. But what he's saying is that, is it that you just want to feed an ego? Feed an appetite? Feed a desire. Listen, most people who arrive at these things find life very miserable. That's why billionaires hang themselves. You can have a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It doesn't mean you have stepped into the fullness of God's purpose. That's why at some point in time, see what Jesus is telling here is that come into God's dream. Pursue God's dream. Pursue God's purpose for your what? For your life. Know what God wants you to do and go all after it. Aye. Seek ye first, he said, verse 33. Seek ye first. That word seek there is that the same way you will put energy into looking for what to eat, the same way you will put energy into putting up an appearance, do that for God. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Passion translation, there's a way the Passion translation brings it out. You see, you know the things that are added to you? The appearances that people like. That's why in the pursuit of God's kingdom, you will have an appearance. I will make your name great. You can't pursue God and his agenda and not have a great name. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. The Bible says less important things will be given to you how? Abundantly. That is when things make meaning. You know, never allow suffering dictate purpose. You know why? If suffering dictates your actions, you know what happened to you? When you eventually have your hunger satisfied, you can become enslaved to a purpose you are not ready to serve. That's why when a boy has suffered for many years and he finds a sugar mommy, by the time he's with that sugar mommy, the sugar mommy would have given him house, giving him house, but he would be feeling like a slave. But he won't be able to walk out of sugar mommy's house. You know why? The fear of losing that comfort is hunger that drove that decision. Listen to me. If man feeds you, he will direct how you chew. He will dictate how you chew. If God feeds you, you will chew like he wants you to chew. You know, if a man suffers and eventually comes to a place and says, why? What does God want me to do? He has asked the most important question. You know why Paul's life was not too difficult? The moment he got saved, the first question is, Lord, what will you have me do? See, there's a lot of teaching on you being your man's man. Those are not scriptural teachings. Let me tell you some of it. See, there's a thin line between ambition and vision. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So we're talking about enlarging what? Your vision. Catch a vision. You will see billionaires with purpose. See, some of you need billions so that we can enter some countries. Because the way some of us, the way we have CFC in places like United Arab Emirates, is when some of you take businesses into that economy, are you getting me? That can help you bend the rules on how things should be done. They will make exceptions for you. That is what we are teaching. But you see, all these things, because there is first of all an agenda. There's the way I see all of you. There's the way I see you. For we are his what? Workmanship. Created in who? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amplified. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, it's your responsibility to find out God's purpose for your life. Pursue it with all your heart and fulfill it at all cost. I heard that from Kenneth Copeland. He said, find out God's purpose for your life. Are you getting me? Pursue it with all your heart. He said, and do what? Fulfill it at all cost. Nothing worries a stone. That's why when the Bible says, set your faith as a flint. Even concerning your purpose, be like a stone. Have you noticed? It's people who passionately and doggedly follow what they've always said that stand out in life. For we are God's own handiwork. Whose workmanship are you? Please answer. Recreated in who? In Christ. Born anew. That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand. Now, can I ask you a question? He says, who predestined the works for us? How? Taking parts which he prepared ahead of time. See. Who recreated you? Whose workmanship are you? Whose good works are you doing? Who created the part? That we should walk in them, living the what? Good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. You know, a lot of time we ask, what is good life? They say, house with swimming pool. Is that the good life he prearranged for you to live? You see, we should not interpret scriptures through shallow minds. No. Even if you read that scripture in context, you would discover that Paul is not talking about swimming pool here. And because your minds are opening. Because we are so narrow-minded, it's easy for people to be intimidated sometimes by, you know, if one guy in your neighborhood who has not been around for a long time finally brings a car, I get him, Range Rover, you get him, oh yeah. As you are coming to greet the guy, the AC coming out of the car with the perfume, are you getting me? Man, this climate control. Not like the guy wants to brag. Then he just does his hand like this. How are you people doing? You know what the guy is just doing? Scam. You see, man, the guy is living a good life. Is that the good life God prearranged? Those are the things that follow a man who is living a good life. According to Matthew 6, those are the things that follow a man who is living a good life. That is not the... If that is the good life, are you getting me? Then all these Hollywood stars are living a good life. Nollywood stars are living good lives. You see... When you begin to get God's perspective about life, and you see some people, you begin to see shallow people, empty people. Sometimes you can see what people see in the people they follow and they talk about. I know I'm reconditioning people's minds here. You know, when people are very competitive, they are not good friends. Be wary of anybody who is pursuing you when you pursue purpose. If there's anything, I want to find out God's plan for my life. Hear me, in 2020, doggedly pursue God's plan for your life. The good life, what we call the good life, is a life lived in... See, somebody says, what is a good life? Is when you do good works, taking parts which God prepared for you. If you are doing a good work, taking the part that God ordained for you, you will be living the good life. Yes, it's already prescribed there. Reverend Tom said that I don't have a dream. I only know God's dream. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. Now, I want you to see two people. Glory. I've looked at this story again and again. I want you to see this too. Your help has come. In Genesis 12, when God blessed Abraham, are you following? Lot followed him. What I like about this story is that if you read two verses down, scripture tells us that the headsmen of Abraham and the headsmen of Lot. God is merciful. The blessing is powerful. That even people associated with you. See, there are some non-Christians who by their association with you will prosper. That's how powerful the blessing is. God doesn't raise anybody to be a success alone, so everybody be looking at him. You know, some people like being the superstar, and they come and say, what's your problem? Hey, here is some money for you. But the Bible says, at the point in time, a quarrel broke out. And I've discovered that sometimes separation is the way of peace. If you hold on to some relationships for too long, you will not hear God. He said, when you make up your mind to follow God, it's not everybody that will have the energy to follow at the pace that you desire to run. How many of you have companies here, businesses? Listen to me. By the time I'm done with this teaching this evening, you discover that you will gain some speed. Some people will not be able to catch up. I know the mistake we make sometimes as leaders, visionaries, and people who are pursuing a purpose is that you don't want to be perceived as someone who leaves a crawling soldier behind. But sometimes a crawling soldier can be a dead weight. So you know what you need to do? Sometimes you need to find a place where you can go so that you can come and pick the soldier there. I will show you how you know. Look at Lot. Abraham brought, I want to tell you the difference between ambition and vision. He said, go to the left and I will go where? To the right. This is what I want you to see. You see, what do you expect Lot to tell Abraham? What Abraham proposed is a good solution, but it was taken in the wrong spirit by Lot. Do you know they would have still separated, but not on the grounds of crisis? Are you with me? So he said, you take the what? The Bible says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plains of who? Where? Of Jordan. You know what Lot was looking at? Something he had always desired. He ended with his wife becoming a pillar of salt, which is still there for people to lick. But you see, in our pursuit, are you getting me? Of a God-given assignment. There is a place where you lift your eyes. Go to verse 14. You will see the difference. Both of them saw. In verse 14, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are northward. You know the difference between vision and ambition is when you have a vision that is void of God's information and God's purpose. I say when you have a vision that is void of God's information, God's direction, what you have is what? Is ambition. Let's choose. What did Lot do? And see, this is what a lot of motivational books do to us. Are you getting me? That's the thin line between motivational books and following a God-given vision. Because a lot of times they are telling you to harness the power of your potentials. No. Don't make that mistake. Praise the Lord. Don't make that mistake. There is a good life prearranged by God for you to live. Your primary purpose is to find it. You have to find it. Discover God's purpose for you. And listen, when I say find out God's purpose for you, I'm not saying going to 40 days fasting. The Bible is clear enough. There are no gray areas in Scripture. If you start following Scripture, you are following God's plan. God's plan is here. I'm not even talking about, you know, a lot of times people say, I don't know what God wants me to do. What is this? There are many things here to do. I always tell people, have you preached today? Preaching is what God wants you to do. The second thing you know about the vision and ambition, are you getting me? Is that there is a kingdom purpose tied to every God-given vision. That means if you look into every God-given vision, you will find either the presence of Christ, the principle of Christ, or the person of Christ. Is somebody getting it? Should I repeat what I just said? I say you will find the purpose, you will find Christ. You will find the kingdom of God in every God-given purpose, every God-given vision. You know, a pastor can desire to have the biggest church and it's an ambition. It's an ambition. He will match everybody, wound everybody, eventually have the church. But if you see at the center of it, are you getting me? It's to feed self and to put up what? An appearance. It's about food and clothes. You will see pastors who look at, who even have big churches. Don't get me wrong. And all they have is Sodom and Gomorrah. It's glitterazzi. There's no substance of Christ in it. Do you know how well Lot ended? Lot ended in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says his soul was vexed. That righteous, he was still righteous. He was still righteous. His soul was vexed. He was sitting outside the city gates. Do you know where Abraham ended? The Bible says Abraham, where he ended in the plains of Mamre, was a place called Hebron, a place where kings are born. Every ordained king in Israel was ordained at Hebron. That means God brought him to a place where he was a kingmaker. See, when there is a God-given vision, when you see what God sees, are you getting me? You become a citadel producing people that will outlive you. And that is true greatness. Because the Bible says concerning the righteous man in Psalm 112, his seed shall be what? Mighty upon the earth. That means it's not only him that is mighty. The things that are proceeding from him are producing. See, if what you do dies after you, there's no greatness in it. You will have companies that will outlive you. Schools that will outlive you. Am I talking to believers here? in this CFC, we will have this. We will have the McDonald's of this of our time. Do you know, long after you are gone, they are still talking about you. Ministries that will outlive us. Oswald Sanders said, you should never be afraid of succession. You know why? That at every point in time, when a leader is about to go, the greatest fear people have is, can anybody step into the shoes of such leaders? He said, but you need have no such fears. He said, because if it's a God-given thing, are you getting me? God always have a successor, and is always greater than the person whom everybody have thought only him or her can handle. He said, when Moses was exiting the stage, there was a Joshua whom nobody knew. He said, but if a thing is not a God thing, are you getting me? It will die with the leader. As he's going, there will be nobody to replace. That's what Gamaliel told them. Gamaliel was saying, look, stop fighting this move. In the book of Acts chapter 5, stop fighting this thing. He said, you remember one justice that got up one time. Are you getting me? He said, since it was not ordained of God, he died a natural death. He said, but if these people are called of God, there is nothing you do that can stop them. Kai, 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 kai. If there is a Christ personality in every vision, nothing can stop it. And listen, from that day that the Holy Ghost came and the church was born, how many of you can see it's been spreading and spreading? This is over 2,000 years. People have come and gone. It is succeeding. That is how you tell a God vision. Nothing can stop the blessing. How many of you know that the greater you become, the easier it is for you to fulfill God's plan for your life to your generation? A lot of time, purpose is found in great adversity. Sometimes when people fall flat, that they begin to ask, why am I here? Then they find out why God brought them there. So falling flat is not a sign that you are a failure. Sometimes it means you have come to the end of yourself so that you can find out God's plan for your life. Have you noticed sometimes, look at Moses, is when he retired to ministry, he retired to family life. Are you getting me? And there was nothing to do again. Do you know that's when he discovered God's purpose for his life? That all this while he was in the army, all this while he was in Pharaoh's house, all his journey was to bring him to a point to be a deliverer. But you see, before he could come to that place, he had to retire. You will retire in Jesus' name. These are not popular messages in Word of Faith and Grace Circle. You will retire. But you see, you cannot serve God in your frustrated state. You cannot serve your generation in your frustrated state. God has to make you great. Go to Deuteronomy 34. Now, Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. I want to show you what. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Look at what he says next. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants and in all his land, and by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. The Bible says, this is greatness. A man who served his what? Generation. But I don't even know, he couldn't serve his generation. At the back of media leadership, he needed a burning bush experience to pull him out of a place of obscurity to find out purpose for his life. Some of you, is from this struggling to pay school fees that you build universities. Reverend Okpara said something and I agree with him. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your experiences. Don't throw them away. It will fuel something in you. You must develop the character of greatness. Every God-given vision, it will be in your heart to serve your generation. Concerning King David, the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts 13, 36. The Bible says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his father and saw corruption. This is what I want you to see. Was he not a king? But kingship was not positional. It was for service. God put him there as a king. I checked the word serve there. It means to minister. That means every God-given vision, are you getting me, will minister to humanity. It will minister to a generation. It will minister to a people. Let me talk to someone. There's a generation that the Oyedepos have been sent to. There's a generation that the Irausas have been sent to. Be the man sent to your own generation. And make sure you do what? You serve your generation. Don't just pass. Serve it. If you're a pastor here, serve your generation. I've told myself, I must serve my generation. You are not sent to multiple generations, though. You are sent to a generation. But greatness will outlive your generation. So the question I want to ask is that, what are you serving your what? Your generation. What are you serving them? Are you just here? Are you getting me? To act like they are superstar? Are you just here to show them that I am the man that have arrived? Or there's something that burns in your heart when you see your generation? Is someone listening to me? What happens to you when you look at your generation? Is there something in you that says, I can live this thing better than I'm seeing it? Listen to me. Pursue that thing. You will not lack anything. As they pursue that, see, begin to make friends who have the same character. After David has served his what? His generation. You are called to one generation. Serve it. And like I told you, push it for my generation. I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to be silent. Why do you start that company? Can I ask you a question? Now you are baking. Now you are baking. What is the purpose of Christ in all these things you are doing? What is the purpose of Christ? Is that purpose of Christ that unlocks greatness? Until you can come to a place where you can stamp the signature of Christ upon what you are doing. You discover that you find yourself always thinking about money, 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 money. How can I get extra money? How can I do that? Stamp the signature of Christ upon that purpose. Tie it to a Christ purpose. I was listening to Kanye West today. You know, I can listen to him now. I was on television and, you know, I love that guy. You know, to be honest, God is my witness. I didn't even used to follow him when he was on sale. I don't have business, don't believe us. Amen. I was listening to him and they were telling me the things he said. And he said, when you was doing secular music and you come into some of those places, they don't want you to call the name Jesus. If you write, he said, some of the songs he has, he said, they will tell you, no, take that name out. Take the name Jesus. Our producers will say, take that name out. Because the system was designed, are you getting me? Not to promote anything about Christ. So I was telling them in the house today, I said, look, when, I said, what people fail to realize that this secular music that you listen to, you know, it's pursuing a satanic agenda. And the people are not ashamed about it. You think they're just doing music, but there is a kingdom that is promoted. In your own case, hallelujah. What kingdom is your business pursuing? Apple is pursuing a purpose. What are you pursuing? In that civil service, what are you pursuing? That's why, are you with me? That's why we have people who are DGs. Are you getting me? I cannot even stand up for one Christian virtue. They can't. You say, and this guy is a Christian. His name is Emmanuel Gidingbin. Are you getting me? And he cannot. He cannot. Meanwhile, there will be another man from the Ishmaelite corner. Are you getting me? Because the day he was entering that office, are you getting me? He had an agenda. He enters there and every slight opportunity he has, he's not hiding it. And you think the devil will not favor his cause. You in that company, for you have been in that company, you have not been able to distribute Zoe magazine for once for fear of, you know, the policy. Do you know the people that always talk about policy and adhere strictly to policy are Christians? As well, when it comes to doing, and they talk about greatness, you know, there's a policy on how something should be done in this place. We must be careful to separate secular state from church. When we come to church, we'll do what we're doing. Some people can't even tell their staff, let's pray in the name of Jesus before we start work today. Just brief prayer. They can't even tell their staff to do it. When they go, why did you come late to work? You're here, you're an idiot. Come on, sit down here. Next time, you will shout from morning to evening. It's because you are doing that thing without any what? Christ consciousness. Your help has come. See, look at industries and say, I'm taking over this industry. I'm enthroning the kingdom of God in this place. Serve your generation. Serve it by the will of God, not by your ambition. Then fall asleep. Then you'll be buried with your fathers. Are you getting me? Do you know the moment a man dies, people forget what he has. He's only remembered for what he did for God and humanity. See, when some great men die, nobody says, oh, his Lexus Jeep. Oh, his house. Do you know the next thing they remember is what you did for people? Who died? That woman that died in the New Testament. Is it Tabitha? What were they telling Peter? Look at the clothes she gave us. Look at the distance she did for us. Look at that's how life is. Nobody remembers the food you ate and the clothes you wore. They say, Kai, and that guy, his shoe is only Versace. He's only Versace. His shirt, Kai. His mango. His cap. Anytime he's wearing the cap, it must be CK. Nobody remembers all that. In fact, they'll even wear it to the funeral. Nobody remembers it. Number two. So the character of his greatness is not ambition. You're not going to walk up to Jesus and say, grant that I sit on your right hand. Jesus said to sit on my right hand. Do you know what it takes? We have too many people looking for position. That's why it's not hard for people to be offended when they can't get certain positions, either in offices or ministry. It's not service that is at the back of our heart. There's too much offense. I know I'm choking somebody something. And don't allow people to push you. When people start telling you, see, when people want to enthrone you as king, you must be wise to know when to leave. Because people like position and they want to push. Position is not greatness. Greatness attracts position. You have been in this church all these years. Have you not reached for them to make you minister? All these years, when will you become minister? Watch now, the next list of people that they will be ordaining. Watch. It's people in Pastor Rames' clique and Pastor Tom. Watch. I told you, I think Mimi Kankwe made it. She made it. But those of us who labored in the days, I mean, if you hear someone, those of us who labored, where is your greatest reward? I told you yesterday, some people get offended if they don't give them particular seats in church. They say, no, anywhere they put me, I don't care, but I know my worth. I know my worth. Who are you? As you have been coming here and sitting there and sitting here, what's the difference? You sat there yesterday, you are sitting here today, what's the difference? You are sitting here, what's the difference? Does it reduce you? Go and do your work. Sometimes, you know, some is the people who try to show they are humble. They are very proud people. Come and sit here. No, sorry, who brought this thing to church? CFC, amen. You know, it's not for you, just I dash you. I was hearing a pastor preach, he say, you have served that pastor for too long. This is a message I heard recently. Say you have served that pastor too long. It's time for you to go and establish a church in so and so place. Where I sat down, the man of God I was sitting next to, he said, that's not correct. I said, sir, that's not correct. He said, from a wrong spirit. Listen to me. You can be called to serve a man all your life. Don't make that mistake. Number two, for greatness, develop competence. The competence for greatness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Develop competence. Is number two. Number one, I say, is what? Character. Number two is what? Competence. What is competence? Having sufficient skills to be able to handle something. Some of you want Otanwa to give you jobs and you don't know how to do the job. I don't know if you get the picture. Then you go around saying, Christian brothers don't like helping people. Somebody told me that in Abuja there are no jobs. I say it's a lie. There are plenty jobs, but they don't have people who can do the jobs. Degree. Sorry to say, I'm not Yabi Nigeria. Nigerian degree doesn't mean you can do a job. Some of you have graduated, you can't construct two sentences, and they need you to do PRO, but you can speak in tongues, and they don't need tongues. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't need tongues for that office where you are. Psalm 78. Give me the last verse, 72. So he shepherded them according to the what? Integrity of his heart, and guided them by what? The skillfulness of his hands. You need skillful hands. Develop competence. Opportunities will find you. Develop competence. See, if you say you want to take over a sector, then develop competence for that word sector. And in developing that competence, are you getting me? You will need to stretch. I was talking to some people in the office today. I have looked at my wife. I have seen Pastor Jay stretch herself with three kids to read. Are you getting me? And now somebody can confidently look at her and say, look, come. I have a particular institution. Come and manage it for me. It's competence. See all these things that you'll be sharing, card. You know, some people everywhere they go, when they sing, they say, here's my card. I prophesy. I get you can invite me. Here is my card. I'm into reggae music. So if you need reggae music, you can invite me. Here's my card. No. See, stop looking for platform. Platforms are looking for people. If you develop competence, the platform will find you. We are in CFC here, but my problem is that we are all in CFC, only singing, but they will still be bringing color. They will still be bringing this person. When we are here. When we are here, we are here, we have been laboring. And we find another church. We have been laboring. But Kole, every time, Pastor, that collection is because you have not seen my song. I've written 109 songs. But it's Kole every time. But Pastor, you don't like that Kole. You don't like Kole. I don't even know what that team boy sings. Don't abuse him. Praise the Lord. With his J5. If you just bad that his J5 come with this thing. Only him. As a person, Pastor will be inviting. Some of us are here like this, and they will not invite us. But there's God. But me, I know who I am in Christ. That is, you are speaking from, are you getting me? From a weak, are you getting me? You are speaking from a weak personality. See, that thing Pastor Steve preached, is that message? Give me that mic, you will see what I will do. We will not give you. Amen. We will not give you. You see, that's why any vision that you hear anybody trying in that vision is to bring another person down. Something is wrong. I'm going to have the biggest. See, when you say I'm going to have the biggest shopping boko, that's not vision, no, that's ambition. If it's not serving a Christ world, that's ambition. And you will not get there. We've been seeing some of you saying those things for many years. Develop the competence. You say you are a pastor. They ordained you 12 years ago. You have never gone for any pastoral training. If they ask you what defines the office of a pastor, babu. Have you read so-so book on pastoral this thing? Bah! Amen. Have you ever bought any book on how to cancel people? Mbanu. I get nothing. You are a pastor. It's 12 years ago they ordained you. Yes, 12 years a pastor. That's your CV. You say you're an engineer. I'm telling you this thing. Believers, I have seen, God is my witness, I have seen people that I have referred to prominent people from this church. And guess what? When they came, they said, Pastor, sorry, we can't hire them, but we'll find something for them. You must develop competence. And listen to me, not just competence. You must move from competence to being exceptional. They say pastoral work has to do with administration. What do you administer? Are you getting me? How are people arranged? You see, I was talking. Sorry, I'm hammering pastors. They tell you to fill a simple form and submit at the end of the month. You can't do it. I say, I'm going to take over Boko. Which Boko? See, pastoral work is not organizing prayer crews. Don't be deceived, though. Those of you who think that's what, you know, that is not all. It's not organizing prayer. Everybody can organize prayer crews. Even you. It's not preaching. Sometimes I wish this general was here. I am not the one that is the general was here. You are surprised, man. Sometimes I wish another person would be doing it so that me, I'll be taking instruction. So if you think I don't even drink juice again. Amen. Can you see my stomach has gone down? Praise the Lord. I don't even drink juice again. It's what I drink now. Some of you, this is all you see. Then when they carry my Bible, they say, Kai, Gio. Then they buy me Venza. Are you getting me? During birthday, they say, Kai, I want to be Gio. Come on, full Venza now. Amen. And travel. Then I have to go and visit this church. Then I have to go and visit that church. You don't even give me good food sometimes. Praise the Lord. But I still have to walk in love. Skillfulness of hand. Some of you, if they give you something to type, errors will be inside. Error. You can't type. You write letter, you still put shorthand, and you want to be a professional, you put shorthand. Some of you even chat. Even your chat, I can't read it. Because sometimes I'm trying to infer, what is he trying to say? Are you getting me? You are writing the way you think. This is chat. Develop competence. So Jesus was sending his disciples to go out and preach. And guess what? He had to train them. He said, when you go into this house, this is how you should do it. When you go to this place, he didn't send him. See, what is worth doing is worth training for. It's not what is worth doing is worth doing well. What is worth doing is worth training for. If you need any training this year, get it. Get it. Stretch. Listen, this thing I'm telling you is stretch, you know. In fact, when you start stretching, they will tell you that you are doing too much. Read. If you have to read. Go and attach yourself to somebody and say, teach me. Because there's something you are pursuing. You see, this is my young lady here. Come now, you see what I'm talking about. She's small but mighty. Minister Blessing. I have seen this lady transform in the last 2 years. Are you getting me? In some very phenomenal ways. Now she's getting international jobs. I was listening to her on radio one day. When she came, I said, did you learn that? He said, actually, when you're dealing with children with dyslexia and, you know, I'm a... In fact, I said, wait, Blessing, Gapé. You are the one talking like this. She told me, said she had to learn it. No, just package. She went to learn how... Is it dicton you call it? Pastor James, my auntie, anytime they are talking on it, I will be laughing. But for the place, there are some places that when they hear you talk, that's what will stop you from getting the job. With all your grace, you want to go and work in American embassy. During the interview, you come and sit there. They say, what's your name? Say my name. Say, I don't care. I mean, that's how I talk. Right from the time that they give birth to me, that's how I've been talking. So if you want me to talk another way, go and find another person. Are you getting me? Can't force me to talk like that. Can't force me to talk. You don't want to learn. You don't want to stretch. You say, that is me. You will soon walk into thieves' palace. Are you getting me? See, listen to me. Grace, don't make a mistake. Grace does not seek mediocrity. Grace amplifies excellence. You know why? Because grace is an excellent spirit. So if you... There's a brother in church in Abuja now. The first job he got, they say, can you speak with an American accent? He said, yes. Say, because you'll be talking to Americans. He spoke and they were so impressed. And he got the job. You say, there is no job anywhere. CFC, wake up. You are a pastor. You don't learn how to prepare sermons. You don't learn how to prepare notes. Even for your home cell. I'm not talking of your home cell. You know how you're always arriving at your home cell? Tired. Give God praise. Give God praise. Give God praise. Today's home cell is going to be powerful in Jesus' name. It's going to be powerful. Whew. What pastor is saying today is that eternity must be in view. You hear? Eternity must be what? Must be in view. Eternity must be in view. Eternity must be in view. And when eternity is in view, I was reading a book a few days ago by Rabbi Lapin. He said, when you talk to people, don't put your hand in your pocket. It shows that you don't understand your subject. You know, you are talking to people. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you see what I'm saying is every time you put your hand in your pocket, it shows you don't understand your subject. Then the last one, capacity. Develop capacity. Now, this capacity we are talking about is spiritual instrumentality. See, there is a way that when somebody is pursuing something, even the way he sows his seeds and serves the anointed, you know that there's something he's looking for. This capacity for greatness, are you getting me? This thing that gives you audience is the anointing. And a lot of times, God will connect you to the anointed. Every person has a God-ordained voice for him or her. If you like, go to another place. You will go around. Things will be working for the people connected to that voice. Are you getting me? You will go around until God will send you back to the voice ordained for you. That's why don't be quick to run away from a man of God or accept God has specifically spoken to you. Jesus said, my sheep, they do what? They hear my voice. There's a voice for your sheep. Can I speak to all of you here? You cannot get certain results except you are hearing the voice of CFC. If you like listening to Kenneth Copeland, listen to other things. It is when you hear this voice that you will find, because the DNA for your success is found in the voice God ordained here. You know, when Paul was talking to the Philippians, he said, not like I desire a seed. He said, but that fruit will abound to your word. Do you account? Do you know they are, they, if you check the literal translation, there is not talking about your UBA account. Do you know what the literal translation means? He said, I desire that fruit will abound to the things you say. That means there's something about the anointed that amplifies your voice in places. It's not abnormal. That's why when somebody sows a seed, he goes somewhere, he talks. The way it will be perceived will be different. Utterance is the anointing that announces you. It's the anointing that amplifies your voice. That's why you shouldn't be around the man of God and be having a cynical attitude. You see, if God has sent you to a man of God or a ministry, be doggedly loyal. I've seen people who were with ministers of the gospel who were very skilled and talented who ran away from that ministry. Do you know some pastors got offended and left Bishop Oyedepo? How many of you know? Some of them even went and started churches. And when the branches they were pastoring, those churches were mega churches. Then they started their own. They were just wondering why things were not working. See, it's not even because of Oyedepo. God, heaven doesn't break ranks. Heaven doesn't break ranks. Someone said they curse them. It's not a curse. People think that spiritual things are like smoke. It's not smoke. They are more organized than physical things. They are others. Reverend Arome is my father. He is my father. You know why? I know where I was. Eh? And I know where he has brought me. I'm not a fool. And I don't have two fathers. Some people, their fathers change. My father doesn't say, I know my father. And I say, I won't meet other men of God. I've met. I know. The first day I heard him, people always say they hear him up to four times before they hear what he's saying. Me, the first day I heard him, everything was clear. Everything was clear. Maybe when you hear him, you're not. Somebody even came to church one day. No, he told me, he said, why do you even invite that man? You preach better than him. I said, turn that fire your mouth. How many of you are ready to do great things? Next year, we'll be commissioning things. We'll be celebrating offices.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.